So you wanted to explore this whole cyber attack on American water, huh?
Yeah, definitely. A lot to unpack there.
It's got people talking, that's for sure. And for good reason. I mean, this isn't just some small-time operation. We're
Oh.
talking about the largest water utility in the U.S.,
Hey.
serving 14 million people.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
18 military facilities. Even this hit close to home for a lot of folks.
Yeah, and I think what's really unsettling for people is that it sort of exposes this vulnerability that I think we don't often think about, which is that, our physical world is so reliant on this digital world.
Right.
We're so used to water just, magically flowing from the tap.
Right, it just works.
But behind the scenes, there's this incredibly intricate network of systems, and any one of those can be a target.
Yeah, it's easy to forget about all of that until something like this happens.
Right.
And this one unfolded pretty quickly too. So October 3rd, they detect this unauthorized access, and all of a sudden, it's all hands on deck.
Oh, yeah.
They had to disconnect systems, including, that My Water customer portal. So people are immediately feeling the impact.
Right. And this is where it gets interesting from, how seriously did they take this perspective? They actually filed what's called a Form 8K,
Okay.
which, might sound like a bunch of, alphabet soup.
Right.
But essentially, it's a legal fire alarm for investors.
Okay, so it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's basically a way to ensure transparency when there's a major event that could affect, a company's stock or financial stability.
So even amidst the chaos,
It's following protocol.
they're dotting their I's, crossing their T's, making sure everybody knows what's going on,
Absolutely.
which, transparency is great, but obviously that doesn't solve everything for the average customer who just wants to pay their bill online.
Well, exactly. And
Yeah.
the impact was immediate.
Right.
No online bill pay,
Yeah.
apartments rescheduled, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
But to their credit, they did waive late fees for October,
Oh.
understanding, that this is causing disruption for folks.
Trying to ease the burden a bit, I guess. That
Right.
makes sense.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the, I guess the big fear here. Drinking water safety. Did this attack compromise that at all?
So American Water has been very clear that no, the safety of the water supply was not compromised.
Okay.
And that's a crucial point to really hammer home, I think, because in a situation like this, panic can be as damaging as the attack itself.
Oh, absolutely.
People imagine these worst-case
Right,
scenarios.
right. Yeah.
So it's really important to get that information out there.
Thankfully, that wasn't the case here. But the investigation is still ongoing, right? I mean, do we know exactly how this attack happened?
So not yet. The specifics are still under wraps, which, is pretty common in these situations
Right.
because sharing that information publicly could actually provide a roadmap for other bad actors.
Right, so you don't want to give away all the secrets.
Exactly. You don't want to make it easy for copycats.
Right. But, and this is what kind of gets me, is this American water attack, this isn't an isolated incident or anything. I mean, we saw that Kansas Water Utility was targeted just a few weeks before this in September.
Yeah, and that's the truly alarming part, right? We're seeing a pattern here. These attacks are increasing in frequency, and they're not always coming from the same
That's
place.
right.
For example, back in November of 2023, there was a Pennsylvania water utility that was hit, but that was attributed to like a hacktivist group,
Oh, wow.
not necessarily a nation state.
Right, so you've got these potentially like state-sponsored attacks going on. You've got hacktivists with, who knows, maybe they have an axe to grind or whatever their agendas are. It's like this whole spectrum of threats converging on these really crucial systems. It kind of begs the question, just how prepared are these utilities? And frankly, how worried should we be?
Yeah, and it feels like it's getting harder and harder to tell, where these threats are coming from. It's not always clear cut.
It's really a bit of a digital Wild West out there, isn't it?
No.
It really is, yeah. And it makes you wonder, like, what kind of defenses can even stand up to this kind of, multi-pronged threat?
Well, and that's where that a WaterISec alert that we touched on
Yeah.
earlier about the potential Russian cyber threats,
Yeah.
that becomes so critical.
Right.
So WaterISec, just for folks who aren't familiar, is basically like a cybersecurity watch group, specifically for the water sector.
Okay.
So they're constantly sharing information, warnings
Yeah.
about potential threats.
So, like a neighborhood watch, but for cyber.
Exactly. So in the case of that Kansas attack, for example, they had actually already issued alerts about potential Russian activity, particularly targeting what are called industrial control systems. or ICS for short.
Okay, so not just like regular computers then.
No, these are the brains behind critical infrastructure.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the systems that control, you know, water flow, treatment processes.
Oh, wow. So it's not just about hacking into a computer system. It's potentially about taking control of the physical infrastructure itself.
That's exactly right. And what's really concerning is that a lot of these systems, they rely on really specialized technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And these technologies haven't always kept pace with the latest cybersecurity advancements.
Oh, interesting.
So, for example, in that Pennsylvania case we talked about, they were targeted through vulnerabilities in these things called PLCs. It stands for Programmable Logic Controllers.
Okay.
And they're basically like the building blocks of a lot of these industrial control systems.
So, like, kind of old tech, but controlling really important stuff. Not a good combination.
Not a good combination at all. Right. And it really begs the question, if these systems are so vulnerable, what can really be done to protect them?
Yeah, I mean, where do you even start?
Right. Well, I think of the American water attack, as unsettling as it is, it does offer some really key takeaways, almost like a cybersecurity playbook in action. First and foremost, it really underscores that cybersecurity, it's not a one and done kind of deal.
Right.
It's not like you just install a software update and you're good to go.
Right.
It's a constant evolving process.
So more of a marathon than a sprint then.
Exactly. You've got to constantly be adapting and staying one step ahead. And I think a big part of that is having a really strong cybersecurity posture from the get-go.
Okay, so like what does that actually mean? Like what does that look like in practice?
So we're talking about regular audits, you know, to identify weaknesses, fix them before they can be exploited. Having a well-rehearsed incident response plan so that if and when an attack happens, everyone knows what to do, who to contact.
So it's like having a fire drill, but for hackers.
I love that analogy.
Yes.
Because it's about being prepared.
Right.
And then another really critical aspect, and this one often gets overlooked, is collaboration.
Okay.
No single entity, no single company, no single agency can fight this alone.
It's too big.
It's too big. It's too interconnected. Mm. So companies need to be talking to each other, sharing information, best practices,
right.
Sharing information with government agencies, with cybersecurity experts. It's about breaking down those silos and presenting a really united front.
So like kind of a neighborhood watch, but for cyber threats, everyone's got each other's back. You're sharing information about suspicious activity.
Exactly. Exactly. Because ultimately, the more we can work together, the stronger our defenses become as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, with all this talk about utilities and infrastructure, it does kind of bring up the question, what does this actually mean for the average person?
Right, exactly.
You know, how does this trickle down to our everyday lives?
That's a really good question because, you know, we hear about these large-scale attacks on these big companies.
Right.
And it's easy to kind of feel removed from it all. Like, okay, that's bad, but how does this actually impact, you know, me, the average person, just living their life?
Well, and I think that's something we should all be asking ourselves, right?
Right?
Because the truth is, even if you're not the one running a water utility or a power grid,
right,
we are all affected by this in ways that we might not always realize.
Yeah.
Just think about all of the services that we rely on every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity, transportation, healthcare. These are all underpinned by systems that are potentially vulnerable.
It's like this interconnected web, right?
But
one weak link and it all kind of falls apart.
Exactly. So it's not about being alarmist. It's about being aware and understanding that while the threat is real, there are actually things that we can do to protect ourselves. We can be more cyber aware in our daily lives.
Okay, so what can we do? Like, where do we even begin?
Well, it starts with being really cautious about the information that we share online, right? The links that we click on, the passwords that we use.
Yeah.
Simple things,
yeah.
But they make a big difference.
Right, right. You mentioned phishing earlier, those emails that try to trick you into giving up your personal information. Like, what's the best way to spot those and just avoid falling victim, you know?
Oh, phishing. Yeah, it's so tricky because they're getting really, really good at it.
Right.
But some things to watch out for. Misspellings, grammatical errors, suspicious email addresses. Like, a legitimate company is not going to be sending you an email from, like, a Gmail account.
Right.
So anything feels off, trust your gut, don't click on it. And verify it through, like, the official channels.
So be wary, be vigilant. It's like that old saying, trust but verify.
Exactly, exactly. And another big one, passwords. Strong passwords.
Oh, yeah, right.
Cannot emphasize this enough. A strong, unique password for every single one of your online accounts.
Okay.
It's like locking your digital doors.
Right. It's like having a different key for every lock in your house.
Exactly. You wouldn't use the same key for your front door, your car, and like your safe deposit box, would you?
Right. No, definitely not.
So treat your online accounts the same way.
Oh.
And, you know, it's not just about protecting ourselves individually either. It's about fostering this culture of cybersecurity awareness.
Okay.
In our communities, in our workplaces.
Right.
Talk to your friends and family about this stuff.
Right.
Especially, you know, older relatives who might be more susceptible to scams.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Just having those conversations can make a world of difference because at the end of the day, this isn't just about technology, is it?
Right.
It's about people.
It is, yeah. Cybersecurity is a people problem too, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a shared responsibility. Mm-hmm. And the more we all understand that, the better equipped we'll be to, you know, face these challenges head on.
Well said. And I think that's a really good note to end on. This has been a fascinating and, frankly, a little bit unnerving deep dive, but I think it's so important to have these conversations.
I agree. Knowledge is power.
It is. And to our listeners, as we all navigate this increasingly digital world, I think it's worth asking ourselves, how might this growing threat to these crucial systems, to our critical infrastructure, how might it reshape our relationship with technology? How might it reshape our relationship with the systems that we often just take for granted? Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay secure.